I'm in Austin, Texas today as we kick off our election road trip ahead of the midterms, which are coming up in a little more than 2 months. Democrats have the chance to take back control of the House and perhaps the Senate to provide a balance to what has been one-party rule since President Trump took office. Here in Texas, there is a Senate race between Republican incumbent Ted Cruz and Democratic Congressman Beto O'Rourke that has been closer in the polls than Republicans would like. Cruz leads in recent polls by single digits. There's a governor's race between Republican incumbent Greg Abbott and Democrat Lupe Valdez, the former sheriff of Dallas County. Abbott leads by double digits in recent polls. And then there are six House races that the Cook Political Report labels competitive. Two of them include parts of Austin. The one we're focusing on today is the 21st Congressional District, which has been in Republican hands since the 1970s. Lamar Smith has held the district since 1987, but he's retiring at the end of this term. He'd never gotten less than 60% of the vote in a general election until 2016, when he won with just 57%. Political scientist Sean Theriault at the University of Texas says that's in part because of the way the borders of the district were designed by Republicans.
So the district, we can think of it in Texas standard kind of as like the old Hill Country district, right? So this is the part of the state that was Republican before Republicans were even a major factor in the state. But of course, it stretches into San Antonio. It picks up a little bit of the northern part of San Antonio, and then it comes even here into Austin. And so the population centers are now San Antonio and Austin. But if you look at the map of the district, it includes the whole of the Hill Country.
It looks kind of like the definition of gerrymandering.
It's the very definition of gerrymandering.
Just take a little slice of each of those two cities,
right,
and then the rest is basically rural.
Right. And so, right, what the Republicans were trying to do, and Lamar Smith, who was sitting in the seat and announced his retirement, he wanted this district to be have a Republican flavor so he could run in a pretty safe district. But he wanted to absorb some of those Democrats from San Antonio and from Austin so that other districts wouldn't have even more Democrats. And by slicing up all of those Democrats in San Antonio and Austin, they're able to have lots of Republicans in this area when you think of this as being a pretty progressive Democratic area.
Despite the politics of those who live in the district, Lamar Smith would definitely be described as a conservative Republican. He's also risen in the ranks over time, taking leadership positions in the House. He's been a climate change skeptic, calling the increase in global temperatures negligible. Here he is in 2016 speaking on the House floor.
The Obama administration will do anything and say anything to impose its liberal agenda on the American people. I urge my colleagues to support SJ Res 22 and disapprove the Waters of the United States rule.
Smith favored President Trump's tax cuts, and he takes a hard line on immigration.
So I would think that he straddles this line between the Republican establishment and kind of the new Tea Party Republicans. He certainly has his roots into the country clubs of San Antonio and the outskirts of Austin, and I suspect that that's where he's most comfortable. But his politics have always been pretty conservative. And so when the Tea Party comes along, he doesn't have to change the way that he presents himself or the issues that he cares about that much in order to kind of maintain his stability within a Republican Party that has evolved under his feet.
Would you call him a Trump Republican?
No, I wouldn't call him a Trump Republican because he's never been one of those politicians that has been brash or in people's face. He's always done the work in a pretty quiet way. He hasn't been out front, and he's not a flamethrower, a bomb thrower. He's not looking to make headlines. He's, you know, looking to make sure that he takes care of the constituents.
The Republican running to replace Lamar Smith, Chip Roy, is a former federal prosecutor who used to work for Ted Cruz.
I suspect the politics that Chip Roy would practice if he were the member from this district wouldn't be that much different from Lamar Smith. I mean, I don't think they're two peas in a pod, but I don't think that they're that dissimilar from each other.
Chip Roy doesn't actually live in the 21st District, and his opponents often point that out. Ted Cruz endorsed him and said if he wins, Roy will be one of the leading conservatives in Congress. Still, in this race, he's got to be careful about being tied too closely to President Trump. Here he is on KXAN-TV.
Of course, I disagree with the president on certain policies. But I think you got to look at the overall package and say, is the president leading and give the president the room to lead? And I think a lot of people in Congress, including Senator Cruz and others, are giving the president the room to step out and lead and drive forward. And we're seeing the benefit of that over the last 16 months.
Roy will face off against a Democrat who used to be a Republican. He's an Army veteran who served in Iraq and a tech entrepreneur. He's also got a name that doesn't roll right off the tongue.
What about Joseph Cosper? Copser.
Copser.
Sorry, say the name for me.
Copser.
Joseph Cosper.
Right. You want to say Cosper because that's the way your mouth wants to say, but right, Copser.
So, okay, so tell me about Joseph Copser.
Yeah, so he's one of these Democrats that is a little bit atypical of the Democrats we've been hearing a lot about and the ones that have been garnering the headlines and winning some of these nomination fights, because he would be very much kind of in this race if this were 2 years ago or 4 years ago or 8 years ago, because he's a pretty moderate Democrat. He knows how to solve problems. He has a veteran's pedigree. And so he appeals to the voters that he's going to need to attract in order for him to pull out this race.
Copser is trying to fire up the very same Democrats that Beto O'Rourke hopes will turn out for him.
I not only share their progressive values of things that we fought so hard for over the years, but doing that in a way that will allow independents and those orphaned Republicans who are just so estranged by their party today, they don't even recognize the Texas Republicans of today, to be able to say, you know what, we want calm out of the chaos. And I think I have an appeal to those folks.
Ask voters here who they plan to support in the election, and you'll be lucky to find someone who knows the names of the candidates.
I just read it night before last. No.
No, I don't.
Ted Cruz. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the Senate. Oh, gosh.
Do you know which congressional district you're in?
21, I believe.
21. Do you know who the person who represents you now is in Congress?
It's Lamar Smith.
And do you know who's running to replace him?
Joaquin? No. Oh, who came through? Not sure.
Again, it's Chip Roy on the Republican side and Joseph Copser on the Democratic side. Dig a little deeper, and it sounds like these voters already have their minds made up. That was Aaron Byrd running on a trail along the Colorado River in Austin. You can hear his music through his headphones. He says he's voting for Democrats up and down the ballot in November because he's dissatisfied with the direction President Trump has taken the country.
Well, I mean, I think it all starts with I have two girls and a wife, and they're super vocal, and just how he treats women first. You know, I think it's just having someone who represents us in a dignified manner.
Another voter walking nearby is Laura Hubbard. She says she, too, will be voting all blue because Democrats align with her values, namely
having people that we can trust and what they say is believable. Honesty, transparency, giving all people a voice.
Southwest of Austin, voters outside the Sunset Valley Market Fair have different motivations. Cheryl Polis says she has always voted Republican, and this congressional race is no exception. She's a big Trump supporter and wants to do whatever she can to support his agenda.
I like how he's reaching out to all the different leaders. I love the trade wars. I think that's going to be okay. It's shaking things up a bit, shaking up the status quo, and then actually it will probably come back to be very good in the end. But everybody's so scared, but I think just a little bit of faith and a little bit of trust and a lot of support.
Gerardo Gonzalez also voted for Trump in 2016. He's a Republican, but when he thinks about the midterms, he's not sure what to do. He says he's thinking about voting for Democrats because he's sick of Trump always changing his mind about the issues.
Yes, because he changed his mind every time he says something today, he changed something different next minute.
As you can hear, this race, like many around the country, isn't necessarily about the candidates, but the parties they represent. Political scientist Sean Theriault says that means Copser's fate could rest on how well Senate candidate Beto O'Rourke does turning out voters.
The better that you see Beto O'Rourke do, the better you're going to see Copser do. And I think that they could drive each other's turnout numbers in the district, and that's definitely going to play to both of their strengths. They're cut from a very similar cloth. Like, when you hear them speak, they don't sound like some of these other candidates that are getting the national headlines and because of their strident liberal positions, but rather they seem like common sense, problem-solving Democrats, which I think is what a Democrat has to do in the state in order to be competitive.
The way districts have been redrawn in recent years could also help Democrats like Copser.
Now, we're sitting here at the Mexican-American Cultural Heritage Center in Austin. Are we actually in the district?
We are
right
in the
now?
District.
We're in the district.
Right, but my suspicion is that you can see at least two other districts.
Because really, just from where we're
right,
sitting?
Right, because we're really close.
So there are how many districts in Austin?
So there are four districts that kind of have fingers into Austin in various parts.
Okay, so this is a result of gerrymandering, which we were talking about. The question is, in a wave year, if the Democrats have a wave year this year, could that actually hurt this whole plan of trying to just squeeze a few Democrats here and a few Democrats there and make it actually worse for the Republicans that they've split the districts up in these ways.
No, that's a really astute point. And so wearing my other hat, right, so I study Congress and I've looked at redistricting. And this is the part about gerrymandering districts, partisan gerrymandering, is because you don't want to create 70-30 districts because that doesn't help your party because you're throwing away 40% of the voters that could in some ways help other districts. And so you really want to create a district that's 55-45, maybe 58-42.
That you'll win every time, but just barely.
Yeah, that's right. The problem for the Republicans when they do this is if we start talking about a 10-point wave year, all of those districts suddenly become competitive in a way that no one would have thought they would be competitive 2 years ago.
2 years ago, President Trump won this district by 9.9 points. He won the state of Texas by 9. You can hear more of our coverage from Austin at hereandnow.org.